Amen, amen. What a powerful name, the name of Jesus. Welcome everybody tonight. We sure are missing you in our live congregation, but we're glad you're able to join us on this live feed, or whether you're watching at a later time. I just want to say welcome for First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Really expecting a mighty move from God this evening. You know, He is everywhere. God is almighty, all-powerful, and everlasting in everything that we need and do. So we just want to turn this service over to Him tonight and just want to ask Him just to touch in each and every situation. And no matter what status you're in right now, whether you're sick and shut in, whether you're traveling, whether you're just at home because of the situations that we have right now, we just want to let you know how much we love you, but most of all, how much God loves you. And we love each and every one of you. We want to go to the Lord in prayer this evening. And there's been a lot of prayer requests coming across our text blast, our messages. Please, if you have a prayer request, put it in the comments there on Facebook or however you're watching this tonight. And even later in the week, if you're watching at a later time, we do look at it. We do pray. We are a praying church, and we believe in the mighty hand of God as we just place our all into His hands. And the most important thing that we can do in our prayer life is believe. And that's that, have that faith in the Lord. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer tonight as we open our service. Again, welcome for those that are tuning in. I know there'll be people clicking on, but we're going to go ahead and get our service started. So with this prayer, we're just asking all of you to join us. If you have a prayer request tonight, just acknowledge, either by a head shake or raising your hand. God knows each and every situation in our life. For those of you that are sick and shut in, we love you and we're praying for you. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you tonight. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we have to gather in your house, dear Lord, and also for the technology, dear Lord, that your word can go across the airways, dear Lord, in this trying time, dear Lord, when so many things seem to be shutting down or in disarray. We know that we can come directly to the throne of grace, dear Lord. We know we can come to you with an open heart and an open mind and release every situation that we have. Lord, now as we just turn all of our attention on you and release anything around us, dear Lord, we just ask now, dear Lord, that you would just take charge of this service. Dear Lord, be and accept every song sung, every hand raised, the word that's read, dear Lord, to worship and praise you, dear Lord. Dear Lord, for those that are sick, dear Lord, we've got other texts this afternoon, dear Lord, of those being admitted to the hospital. Whether that, you know, for situations, Lord, we know that you are the Almighty God, and we're asking for your healing. Lord, for those that are recovering from procedures, those are recovering from sickness, dear Lord, we just lift our hand up and praise you, dear Lord, for touching. And, dear Lord, for those unspoken prayer requests tonight, dear Lord, Lord, we ask for you to touch our hearts, dear Lord. I know you hear the cries, you hear the weeping in the night, dear Lord, you're with us during the day, dear Lord, and we're placing our finances, our homes, our family, our children, our community, this country. Lord, we're placing it all into your hands, dear Lord, and we're asking for you to take charge. Dear Lord, we're releasing it now. And dear Lord, we're giving you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen, amen. I wish I could hear your voice back this evening, but I am real, real excited about tonight and everything that God's doing. I just see His work. And as we look at this change of season, you can see the color starting to change. Again, I said it Sunday morning. I just want to thank y'all for your prayers, for Elaine and our travels. We went up to very honored to get to be part of a wedding up in Virginia, and He kept His hand of protection on us. But seeing the different changes and getting home to see even the leaves are falling, they're starting to turn. And it is a new season. It's a new time. And may we just release everything to the Lord and just let Him renew and refresh us in all that we do. We got one quick announcement for those of you that may not know. We're going to go, our Sunday morning service will also be a live feed. And then on November 1st, which will be the next Sunday, we hope to have our back open, doors open, and everything fine. We're just really excited about that. Sure do miss each and every one of you. If you're in Sunday school classes and you know how much I talk about Sunday school, we love our Sunday school teachers and all of your students. Stay in your lesson plan. Just take your quiet time and read and just be updated on your scriptures and all this. And the little ones, keep them in not only entertained during this time, but parents and grandparents, let's continue to speak the word to our children and let them know how much Jesus loves them. So we're going to ask y'all to sing a song that I know you know tonight. And it's a song that I've been asked to do, and I just really excited about it. But, you know, as we talked about the power of God, and I just want to release that to Him tonight. And it's How Great Thou Art. And you know, this song means a lot to me personally. It's a personal song that my dad sings. And just a time in my life when I really didn't know the Lord. But he just kept telling me how much the Lord loves me, Amen. Him and my mom. Amen. And I was very stubborn. I still am today, but not as far as God goes. But when he pricked my heart and he called me home and he said, it's time that you join me and be my child completely. And I surrendered to him. My life has never been the same since. So I'm going to ask y'all, the words will be on the screen. You get a chance, whether you're at home or if you're listening to this on the radio or you're driving, I know most people know the words. So we're going to sing the first verse and the fourth of How Great Thou Art. Sing with me. Worship with me. Oh, Lord, my God, when an awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hand has made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Yes, Lord. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Thank you, Lord. How great thou art. Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Yes, Lord. Then I shall bow in humble and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Yes. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Oh, how great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Everybody sing this chorus with me. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art. Heavenly Father, we just worship You tonight. Dear Lord, we just praise Your holy name. Dear Lord, as we stand together tonight or wherever we're at, as we gather, dear Lord, we just praise Your name. Lord, thank You for always being there. Dear Lord, thank You for being someone that the great I Am that we can call out to in our time of need. Lord, our time of sorrow, dear Lord, our time of victory, dear Lord, may we just continue to praise You in the storm and on those beautiful blue skies, dear Lord. We thank You from the seashores to the mountaintops, through the valleys and rivers, dear Lord. We just praise You. How great Thou art, dear Lord. We just love and praise You. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And as we are going to continue our service tonight, thank you for joining in. I know it's a little different than the hymnals that we normally sing, but really looking forward to it. I'm going to turn it over to Miss Jennifer and ask her to do a couple of songs for us this evening. Praise the Lord.
Y'all just continue to worship as we sing Had It Not Been. Just suppose God searched through heaven, He could not find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for You and me. For a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then I'm so glad He was willing to drink the bitter cup. Although He prayed, "Father, let it pass from me." And I'm so glad He didn't call heaven's angels from my hands, pull the nails that torment me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. When you're up again a wall And your mountain seems so tall, and you realize life's not always fair. You can run away and hide, let the old man decide, or you can change your circumstances with a prayer. When everything falls apart, praise His name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and you'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise His name. When you feel you can't go on, raise your hands and say, greater is He that is within me. And you can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise His name, oh, then you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Faith begins to grow. You're not alone. So how can you be lonely when everything falls apart? Praise His name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and He'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise His name. When you feel you can't go on, raise your hands and say, greater is He that is within me. And you can praise the hurt away. Greater is He that is within me, and you can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise His name. Praise
the Lord. What an amazing song if we'll just praise His name. Amen. See what God will do for us. I love that song. We're going to start in the book of Judges, chapter 6. I'd like to thank God for the opportunity to be here tonight. I thank Him for this opportunity to be able to speak about His Word. I don't feel very, probably be long and drawn out tonight, but I just feel that I got something on my heart, and I pray that I can get it across as God has given it to me. Judges chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 12. It says, And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our father told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Brother Jim, would you mind saying the Lord's Prayer?
Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we just come to you tonight. We just again want to just praise you. Want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord, you've allowed us to hear your word. Lord, now as your message being prepared, is spoken, Lord, we ask that you just anoint the man that's bringing forth your word. Anoint his lips of clay, dear Lord, strengthen and guide him. But, dear Lord, most of all, Lord, open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears, dear Lord, as we hear your word and your message. Lord, that we will be in tune with it, dear Lord, that it will be edifying to you. In Jesus' name, we all say.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Brother Jim. Tonight, if I had a title, it would just be Stop. S-T-O-P with an exclamation mark behind it. I hope I can get this across like I felt it this week. I've been praying and seeking God. Gideon has been on my heart. That's what this is about. I've read it, and it's amazing to see what God's done through him. Well, this week I've been praying and seeking God, and I've read about Gideon, and I've read about the story of the Israelites and how God has delivered him, and I got reading it again, and I got reading in verse 1. It says, The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. You see, I've looked back at Israel, and I've always thought, man, why do they keep getting themselves in trouble? They do the same thing over and over and over and over, and they keep getting in trouble again and again and again. So why didn't they just wise up? Well, then I look at myself, and I realize that I've done the same thing. Every time God seems to deliver me, I seem to go right back into the same steps. I seem to go right back into the same traps. Pray that God will deliver me, then I'll go right back into the same traps and do it again. And a lot of times I feel like Gideon did here. Gideon's like, well, Lord, it says, Oh, my Lord, if they'll be with us, why then is this befallen us? You see, a lot of times it's easier for us to blame everything else on everyone else than it is to look at ourselves. The reason I'm in the situation, the positions I'm in, is a lot of times because of myself. You see, I get selfish and I get thinking that I can take care of everything. I can handle everything. I can do everything. So I really don't need God a lot until I get to the rock bottom. Well, that's where my problem comes in. That's why I want us to stop. We got to stop as Christians thinking we can do everything ourselves. You see, as long as I can continue to get overtime, I feel like I can handle all my financial needs. As long as I do what I'm supposed to do health-wise, then I feel like I can handle everything and I'm okay. My job, stress, anything like that, I feel like I should be able to handle it all. A lot of times I got to look. I got to stop trying to do everything myself. We look at, there's a bunch of people in our congregation who are sick. And I feel like, well, Lord, that ain't never going to happen to me. I'm going to stay away from it. Well, I got to stop. I got to start doing what I should be doing and start doing what's right. You see, a lot of times I feel like I can handle everything in my life. My finances are okay. I'm going to take care of them. I got this. God, you just sit on the back burner. I'm only going to need you if I run out of my job or if I lose my job, God. But that's not the case. There's a lot of times in my life where I felt like I've had everything in control. I've been able to handle everything. And then everything just falls apart. I feel like, I don't know if it's being a man or what, but I feel like if my wife comes to me with a problem, I feel like I've got to solve her problem. And a lot of times she's like, stop. I just want you to listen to me. I just want you to be able to hear me and listen to my problems. I don't need you to fix everything. Because my solutions a lot of times are not the greatest anyhow. So she's like, just stop. I just need you to listen to me. I don't need you to try to fix everything. Well, that's my problem a lot of times is I want to try to fix everything. I feel like if I can fix it all, then I don't have to bother God with it. And it's not the fact that I'm bothering God, because God wants to hear from me. If my kids come to me with problems, then I do everything I can to fix them, to help them. But I want my kids to come to me because they love me. I want them to come to me and just say, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, thank you. Usually it's, Daddy, I need some money because we want to go somewhere. Or, Daddy, I need this. But just to hear them tell me that they love me, just to walk up and hug you for no reason, just to have your kids to tell you how much they appreciate you, and I'm sure it don't matter the ages, for them to tell you that just makes you just feel the love and feel like you've done something right. Well, Gideon was saying, Lord, I'm just a simple person. I'm the poorest person. I'm the least person. Why would you use me? But you see, God's got a plan in our lives for us. God's got a plan for Brother Jim, Sister Jennifer, each and every one of you that are out there. God has a plan in our lives. You see, I get in the way of that plan. Like Brother Jim and you were talking about before service. I get in the way of what God wants to do. 99% of the time, that's what I'm doing. Instead of sitting back, letting God shine and giving Him the glory and the honor like I should be praising the hurt away. Instead, I want to sit there and I want to whine and gripe and fuss and complain. And I want God to know while I'm griping and fussing and complaining that He should be doing something for me. He should be blessing me because, you see, we're taught in this world that we should have everything we want, whenever we want it, however we want it, right then, right now. You can order something online and potentially get it that day. If not, you get it the next day. We're taught that everything should come to us so quick, so easy, till it comes to God. I had a friend tell me at work today. He said, you know what? He said, it took me up to just a few years to realize that it takes time to build a relationship with God. He said, it takes time. He said, it didn't happen just overnight like I thought it should, the way I thought it should. He said, it took me these years for all this bad stuff to happen because he went through a rough road for a while. I said, you know, a lot of times we get in our way. We got to stop getting in our own way. We got to stop getting in God's way. But a lot of times we get in our own way, and it's only when we hit that rock bottom do we turn around and we look up to God. It's only when we have nowhere else to look. It's only when I lose my job that I turn to God for my finances, that I truly want to seek God and glorify Him. You see, I put myself in a lot of these positions, but I blame God for them. And I feel like we do this as Christians. We put ourselves in these positions, and then we blame God for them. But God's got a plan for us, just like the brother said the other Sunday night he was preaching. God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for each and every one of our lives. Well, God had this plan for Gideon. Gideon didn't know. Gideon was out threshing the wheat in the field. It wasn't like he was saying, hey, God, won't you come and pick me because I can do something for you. That wasn't what Gideon done. Gideon was out there threshing wheat and an angel come to him. Said, hey, God's going to use you. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that if you're listening to this or you're seeing this or hearing this, that God's got a plan for you in your life. God's got a purpose for you. God's got a reason for you. Don't feel like that you may be down or you may be out or you may not have nothing in your life going for you. Well, don't worry, because if you're going through those trials and those situations, God's building you. Because you see, it's easy to look at these people with these muscles that are ripped up and be like, man, it'd be nice to do that. But to go through what they had to go through to get them, to work out there every day, to exercise, to have the discipline they had. And, well, I don't want that, but I just want to see if I could get the muscles or not. Well, it's the same way with their relationship with God. I want to see how close this brother or this sister is in God. And, oh, man, it's like when they pray, you just feel the Spirit of God. Well, but I got to go through what they went through too. I got to seek God. I got to pray to God. I got to glorify God. I got to get out of my way. I got to stop getting in my way. I got to stop getting in God's way. I got to get out of the way. It says in chapter 6 that the Israelites, in verse 1, it said, the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them in the hand of the Midianites 7 years. So they were delivered 7 years, and they keep turning away. Israel, every time they turn to God, God hears their cry, they turn away. Well, God heard their cry again. I think it's in verse 6 and 6. It says, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of God, Israel cried unto the Lord. You see, God tuned His ear and heard their cry. God seen what they were going through. God seen that they were in the middle of situations that nobody else may have known, nobody else may have thought about, nobody else been able to feel like they fit in right there with them. God seen what they were going through. God seen what they were facing. So if you're going through situations tonight, if you're going through problems that you feel nobody else may know, you feel like you've not told anybody, you feel like nobody knows, nobody understands, nobody can even really comprehend it, I'm here to tell you that God is with you. He sees it. He sees the people that are sick, the people that are struggling, the people that are in the hospital, the people that are facing these trials. God is not going to leave you. I had an opportunity this week, Sunday, to do a funeral. It was just a graveside service. It's the first time I've really done that. And I say I had the opportunity because the man that I was able to speak over made it easy because he lived a great life. He was a great, great man. He was one who always encouraging. He would uplift others. The people that people really wouldn't want to deal with them or didn't want to have no problem with them, he would go and encourage them. He would be with those people. He would help them. He would strengthen and encourage them. He was just a genuinely a good-hearted person. He was a good man. Well, I told the family that you're facing things right now that may be hard, but there is a God that is not going to leave you. He's got His arms wrapped around you. And tonight, if you're facing a situation, if you got trials, if you're in the hospital, if you're at home, wherever you're at, everybody that's sick, God has not left you. It's not because you're being punished. It's not because you're being God wasn't happy with you. God didn't like you, so you're going through these problems. But you know what? You're just building your testimony. You're just building the testimony that God's going to give you. We got to stop getting in our way of that testimony. Because you see, when I start hurting, a few weeks ago I had kidney stones. If you've ever had kidney stones, you know it's the worst pain I think I've ever had in my life. I fell off the porch and broke my femur. Nothing compared to the kidney stones. I don't care, and I'd fall and break my hip again before I did kidney stones. They're terrible. But I sat there, and I heard my uncle and my dad talk about how bad they were, and I was like, surely to goodness, no. But as sometimes I was laying in the bathroom floor, curled up in a ball, just praying, please, God, please, just let it quit hurting. Karen had come in there, are you okay? And I'm just like, I didn't want to just go, get out of here, because I was hurting so bad. I didn't want to talk to her, and I didn't want to say anything to her that would be hateful. So I was like, I just wouldn't even hardly talk. And she was like, man, you get hateful when you're hurting. I said, but I just hurt so bad, I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to hurt her feelings or do nothing. She's just trying to help me and checking me, but there's nothing we could do. And I was laying in the floor, and I was praying, please, God, please. Please just let it go away. And I'd lay there saying it hurt again. I'm like, all right, God, come on. Well, God didn't forsake me. He didn't leave me. Yeah, I went through a little bit of pain, but guess what? It's gone. God worked it all out. It's taken care of. I don't believe God left me in the middle of my pain. I believe I was so focused on my pain that I wasn't focused on God. I was so focused on what I shouldn't have been. Instead of praising the hurt away, instead of lifting, I wasn't praising. I was praying, please, God, take it away. It was my left side. Please, God. But what if I'd have just praised the hurt away? What if I'd have just lifted Him up and glorified Him even more and said, that's all right, even though I'm hurting, yet I'm still going to lift Him up and praise Him. I'm still going to glorify God. Excuse me. If you get into Judges chapter 7, and I believe it's in verse 2, Gideon had got him an army. He's going to go defeat the Midianites. I believe it's in verse 2. It says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. First thing we're taught about, or first thing that you notice about an army is numbers. The more you got, the better you are, the way it seems to me. The more people I got going into a fight, the better off I feel like I'd be. But you see, God had a purpose. God said, you got too many. And He didn't say, you got too many that I just don't like them. If you read on, He says, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hands hath saved me. How many times have I put my faith in myself instead of my God? How many times have I turned my selfishness around and put it on me instead of putting it in Him? You see, we're supposed to be selfless as Christians, not selfish. And a lot of times that's what we are. That's what I am. It's selfish, not selfless. I think of me. And I don't want to be one of those people. I want to be one of those people who go out and lift others up and encourage others and build each other up. Because I think that's what we're supposed to do. The Scripture says that we should put others above ourselves. Now, you want to step on some people's toes and I'll start telling them that. Put other people's needs above you. But you want to see God move? Put other people's needs above yours. I'm not telling you that you should give away all your grocery money and you should be starving yourself. But put somebody's needs above yours. I did a challenge to the teenagers a few weeks ago. I said, I want y'all this week, sometime, find somebody, put their needs above yours, and see if you can't do something for them. I said, I'm not talking about your little brother or something easy. I want you to seek something out, and I want you to do it. Don't get me wrong. I don't tell them something and expect me to not do it myself. So I have to go out and try to do it myself. Now, it's not easy to put others' needs before yours. It's not easy to reach out. I don't want to say I'm a very sociable person. I get the people that you're used to and you like and you just hang out and it's a creature habit. But when you make a plan like this with the teenagers, then you have to tell yourself, hey, well, if you're going to ask them to step out, then you got to step out on faith too. And you got to go out. I told them it could be something small. Somebody like letting somebody go in front of them at a stop sign instead of them taking off, because we're taught we're first. We got to go. We got to do this. We got to go. But we got to stop getting in our way. We got to stop getting in God's way, and we got to start backing off. We got to start watching God and letting His plans unfold. Excuse me. We got to start letting His plans unfold. But if you've seen Gideon and you've seen the number of people he had, which I think was roughly around 32,000, I could be wrong with that, but I think it was around 32,000. Now, when you read about the Midianites, you see that they are laid out in the field as grasshoppers, people everywhere. Said their camels are as the sands of the sea. You can't even number them. So if they're like this, and I'm taken into God, and God's telling me, don't worry, Tony, I'm going to use you to deliver these people. But you got too many people with you right now, so you need to break it down some. All right. First thing, I'm going to be like, okay, Lord, are you sure? Because how many times do we pray for God to use us? Please, God, use me, Lord, use me, use me. First thing he says, okay, I want you to go pray for this person. God, are you sure this is you telling me you want me to do this? Are you sure this is you telling me that this is where I need to go? Are you sure this is you telling me to do this? I've done it. I've been there myself. God, use me. I want to be used mightily by God. But then when God tells me, okay, go do this, are you sure it's what you want, Lord? I don't guess I've ever felt the devil impress me to go pray for somebody and encourage and lift somebody up. So if that's impressed on you, I'm pretty sure it's not from the devil. It's going to be from God anyhow. But I've prayed that. And then what I do, I go back into my selfishness. Well, God, I can't step out of my same routine I do every day. I can't step away from that. I can't step out into something new. God, if you call me over there, I really don't think that's you. Why? Because I got to stop getting in my own way. I got to stop getting in God's way. We got to stop. What if Gideon would have said, no, Lord, I'm going to go with these people because that's what I want, because that's what I'm going to do. But he told Gideon, I'm going to be with you, Gideon. So Gideon says, all right, Lord. If that's what you want, then that's what we'll do. Well, verse 3 says, now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Excuse me. 22,000 went home. Now, if I'd have been Gideon, I may have started panicking a little bit. All right, Lord, 10,000's left. You sent away 22,000. You realize I'd be doing like I do with God. All right, God, you realize what I'm facing right here, right? You realize what I'm seeing. You are seeing what I'm seeing, God. You see this obstacle is huge. You see how big this is, God. You see that I can't make this. So I'm going to need you to have to help me here, Lord. So I'm telling him what my problem is, knowing he already sees him. But if you read the book of David, or it's not the book of David, if you read about David and Goliath, one thing I seen a few years ago, and it just amazed me. David was facing a giant that overpowered him, overweighed him, had more armor than he had. David didn't have no armor. He was more experienced in battle. If you look statistically speaking, there's no way David should win the battle. None. But luckily, as Christians, we don't speak statistically. We speak by faith. We speak by faith. Because statistically looking, I shouldn't be where I'm at today. I should be dead somewhere in a ditch. I should be out serving the world. I shouldn't be here serving God. But because of His grace, because of the faith, then we're here speaking about God and we're talking about His Word and we're talking about how good His grace is. So David, if you read it, it says, David made haste and ran towards Goliath. David seen a problem. David seen a solution. David knew this is nothing. I don't care if he's 9 or 10 foot tall. I don't care if I'm just a young kid because I got faith in God. And I know that He said He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He said He's going to be with me every step I take. So David took that fear, or David took that faith, and instead of turning it into fear, he turned it into the battle and said, all right, I'll come to you, and ran towards his giant. He ran towards the problem. He ran towards the situation. A lot of times in life, we're taught, go away from it. My dad always taught me, said, if you owe somebody money, you can't pay them. You don't cower away, you don't run away. He said, you be a man, you go stand up, and you tell these people, I can't pay this, I can't do this. He says, that's how you learn and that's how you build. Well, it's the same way. If we see a battle, if we see a fight, we shouldn't run away. We shouldn't take off the other way. We should do like David did. It don't matter how big the battle is. It don't matter how big the giant is that's looking at us. We got to stop running away and start running to it. Because David knew without a shadow of a doubt that that battle was going to be won. David knew that it wasn't just him. Because he said, you come at me with staves and sticks, and y'all going to send this little kid out here? And David said, I come at you in the name of the Lord. David knew where his help from come. He knew where his deliverance come from because he knew what was backing him going into that battle. Well, I'm here to tell you, the same God that was backing him is the same God that's backing Gideon going into this battle. And the same God that's backing Gideon going into this battle is the same God that's backing you facing your battles. Whatever your situation is, whatever the battle may be, stop running away from it. Stop backing down. Stop letting the devil get the victory and get the joy from this. We give the devil our joy. Stop giving it up. Stop giving him our stuff. Because God says it's the joy of his salvation. If we got his salvation, we got joy in our lives. We're supposed to be encouraged. We're supposed to be building others up. We got to stop giving everything to the devil. We just let him take it. Well, we just can't fight. Well, no, I'm telling you today that you can fight. Because there's stories in the Bible time and time and time again. David ran to the giant. He wasn't scared of him. He wasn't scared like everybody else was and nobody wanted to fight him. David said, I'll take care of him. That's not a problem. Why? Because he knew who was backing him through the battle. I'm here to tell you, know who's backing you through this battle. Gideon. So the Lord said unto Gideon in verse 4, the people are yet too many. Now, 22,000 has already left. 10,000 is what's staying with him. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go with thee. If you skip down to verse 7, well, we'll go to verse 6. It says, the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink the water. He took them down to the creek to drink some water. And he said, whoever bends down and laps, I've always been taught that the reason they lapped is because they could still see the battle and what was going on. And everybody else that was let go were the ones that was on their hands and knees with their face buried, lapping like a dog. But the ones that had their hands down, they were still ready for battle. The Lord said unto Gideon, by 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man into his place. You can continue reading that chapter and read verse chapter 8 and see what God done, how he delivered the Israelites out of the hand of the Midianites. And you can see how he done it. 300 people he had broke down. If you continue to read on, you'll see where it says, the men were as grasshoppers laid out in the field. They were everywhere. And the camels were as the seashore, as the sands of the sea. You couldn't even count them. So Gideon then faced a hard battle. But Gideon knew who was backing his army. Gideon didn't stop and tell God why he couldn't do it. Gideon stopped the fear. Gideon stopped the doubt. And Gideon said, all right, Lord, I'll go. We got to stop with the selfishness. Stop with the doubt. Stop with the fear. Stop with the self-pity at times. And we got to start lifting God up and know who's got our back in these battles. He gives us the armor of God to put on. Put it on, wear it, because there's going to be battles. He told us we were going to have it because we were going to have battles. Put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with preparation, gospel of peace, your loins girded about with truth, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. Everything God has given us, He's equipped us for this battle. You see, a lot of times as a Christian myself, I tell God, I'm not equipped for this battle you're preparing me for. I'm not equipped for this battle I'm going through. He says, I've already equipped you. I've already prepared you. I've already given you everything you need. Not only that, I've given you brother and sisters in the church that'll sit and pray with you, that'll fast with you, that'll seek God with you. So the battles we're facing, you're not facing alone. You're not going through them by yourself. Don't feel that just because the church is not open and everybody coming in yet, don't feel that your battles are by yourself. We got the prayer requests. We got them that go through. As soon as they go through, people's praying for them. Don't feel that you're by yourself. Don't feel that we've given the devil this joy and we've given the devil this victory. This is a fight we're in the middle of and we're going to be until the good Lord calls us home. You see, we got to get out of our selfishness. We got to do our part. And the thing about it is God gives us the plan on how to do our part. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these others will be added unto you. Proverbs 3. Excuse me. That was Matthew 6, 33 and 34. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. My problem is I think in my little understanding that I have, I got this battle, Lord. You just sit over here in the chair and let me handle this. My problem is I got to stop putting God in the corner. If David would have said, don't worry, Lord, I got this giant. You stay here in the corner. Or if Gideon would have said, oh, Lord, I'm going to need these 32,000 people, then they'd have boasted their self. And they could have got the victory because they had enough people. You see, when God took the 32,000 down to 300, He said, I'm doing it to show you that I can deliver them. If they do it with all the 32,000 people, then they're going to say, well, they delivered themselves. They handled it themselves. You may be facing trials right now. You may be hurting. You may be struggling. But trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. A few years ago, we were going to sell our house. I know it may seem small to some people. I'm not big on change. I like stuff to be the way it is, the way it feels supposed to be. Well, I prayed and prayed, Lord, is this right for us to do? It was a terrible time to sell. I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I talked to Brother Eddie and Sister Penny. Of course, we'd live right there with them, and they had planned on selling too, but we all talked about it, and it seems like whenever you get ready to do it, something would happen. I'd be like, well, that's the Lord, it ain't supposed to happen. Well, that's the Lord, it ain't supposed to happen. I mean, I blamed everything on the Lord, whether it was good or bad, because it was easier for me to just say, well, I mean, you know, that's the Lord. This is what He wanted. I prayed to God. I sought God. I did. I know Karen did the same. I know Brother Eddie and Sister Penny and my mom and dad. I know we had people praying with us and for us. And it seems like stuff just really wouldn't work out. The house we got, we wind up not even being on the market yet. A friend of mine had seen it, and it all just kind of worked out for us. But I told Brother Eddie in the middle of this, how do I know I'm in the center of God's will and He wants me to move? May not seem much to anybody, may seem petty, but I can remember like, all right, Brother Eddie, I need something now, like something big and grand, and I was waiting on Brother Eddie to tell me. You know what he told me? Seek God, son. If you'll put your faith and your trust in Him, He's going to work it out and He's going to take care of it. I'm like, all right, Brother Eddie, but you don't understand. Like, I'm needing signs. Here's what I want to do. That's what I was wanting to tell Brother Eddie. Brother, I need signs. I need Him just like Gideon did. Gideon had signs. Gideon laid a fleece out and he said, God, let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. And he wrung it out and it was right. Then he said, Lord, don't be angry with me. But this time I need you to let the ground be wet and the fleece be dry. And it was. You see, I was standing trying to tell God, I need these signs. God, I need these signs. But you know what I did? I trusted in the Lord with all my heart. I didn't lean in my own understanding. I tried to focus on Him. In all our ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct our paths. We acknowledge Him in everything we've done. We try to praise Him. We try to put Him first. We try to lift Him up. Not only in talking about selling the house, but I'm talking our lives in general. I fail God every single day. I am probably the least person that should be up here talking about Him. But because of His grace, because of His mercy, because of His goodness, He died for me, and I'm able to come up here, and I'm able to speak about Him. And I'm able to tell you that stop getting in our own ways. Stop getting in God's ways, and let's let Him start giving us back the joy that we let the devil steal. Let's stop giving the devil stuff, and let's start letting God take it all back for us. Because you see, God's standing behind us like He was David. When David threw that rock, it may have been David that threw it, but it was the Spirit of God that led it. And it may be us that has to face these battles that feel like we're going in head first, but know that God is guiding your path. He's guiding your steps every way, every day, all through these battles. And He's not going to fail you. He's not going to drop you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forget you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And He's not a liar. So He's not going to lie. He will be with us every step of the way. You see, tonight, I didn't really know how it was going to go. I was praying, I was seeking God, but I just couldn't get that out of my head about Gideon and then about just stopping. Stop. Get out of my own way. Get out of God's way and let Him work. If we can get out of our own way, if we can get out of God's way, and we can let Him start working, we'll see some movement in our lives. We'll see God start moving. Now, God give us steps to go by. When He told the disciples they couldn't cast out the devils, why? Because this only comes by prayer and fasting. We have got to do our part. We have got to quit blaming it all on God and letting God take all the heat for it when we've not even done our part for it. You see, we got to step out on faith like David did, like Gideon did, like Joseph did, like Moses did. They all stepped out on faith. They all could have said, no, God, pick somebody else. But I don't want God to pick somebody else. But I want to have that faith when God does pick me that I don't say, are you sure this is you, God? I want to follow. I don't want to question. I don't want to hinder. I don't want to go. If it's to lift somebody up, if it's to encourage somebody, if it's to better someone, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. I want God to be using me. We got to stop getting in God's way. And we got to start living like He's telling us to. I know it's hard in this old flesh to live how God wants us to. It's hard every day because when I look at the children of Israel, and at first I was so judgmental, I was like, why don't they just wake up? And I look at myself and realize, why don't I just wake up and stop falling into the same traps? Stop falling into the same situations. Stop having the same struggles. Why don't I just start giving and dedicating all I have to God and start watching Him work in my lives? Yes, there's people sick. Yes, they're hurting. Yes, they're struggling. But guess what? God is still with them. He's with us through the thick and He's with us through the thin. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I get to know God, or I get to see God on the mountain, but I get to know Him when I'm in the valley. And when I'm in the valley, that's when I'm begging and praying and seeking. And I can tell you that God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never drop you. And He will never let you go through trials and battles that you just can't withstand. You know why? Because He's right there with us. That's why it's so important to have His Spirit in our life. That's why it's so important to be completely sold out to Him. Because then we trust Him and we know that He's not going to leave us. He's not going to let us go into a battle without Him being there with us. Gideon took 300 men, split up into three groups, 100 each. So he split up even more. And he surrounded them. And when they blew the trumpet and busted the pots, God delivered them. And this battle that looked so big, that looked like they couldn't be defeated, God caused confusion to go in and they just went everywhere and run. God will take care of your battles, whatever they may be. Whatever the situation is, stop getting in God's way. Start letting God win your battles for you. And we will start winning back what the devil has took from us. If everyone would bow your head and close your eyes. Dear Lord, we thank You, God, for Your many blessings in our life. We thank You for Your Word, God, how it strengthens us, how it encourages us. God, how it builds us to make us better people for You. God, how it guides us to show us how we should live, to show us how we should walk in your footsteps. Lord, I pray that you see people that's going through battles tonight, and I pray that you would encourage them. God, I pray that you would have them stop getting in your way, God, and that they would let you just start winning their battles for them. That we would let you start winning our battles and start getting back everything that we'd let the devil steal from us. Lord, we praise you for your joy and your guidance. We praise you for your deliverance, for your strength. God, we praise you for helping us to win these battles. I rebuke them in Jesus' name, and I thank you for the healing. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for the joy, the strength, for your goodness and your mercy. God, and I praise you for salvation. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to minister your word, God. Anytime to be able to lift you and to glorify you, God, I praise you. I thank you for it, Lord. God, help us to stop getting in your way. Help us to lift you up, to glorify, to praise, to honor you in all that we do. And Lord, please bless those that are sick, those that are in nursing homes and hospitals, those who need healing, who need deliverance. Encourage and heal them, Lord. And God, continue to bless and deliver and to win our battles for us. And we trust in and we praise in you and we thank in you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand and start to fall, all those lonely roads that I have traveled on, there was Jesus. When this life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it and couldn't see it, there was Jesus. There was Jesus. There was Jesus.